Hello, and welcome to episode 11 of Two Guys, One Cup, the FPL podcast. Thanks for tuning in, guys. I'm Shez. Alongside me, I've got my co-host, Sham. Sham, how you doing?
I'm good. Not a bad game week. How are you, Shez?
Yeah, I'm good. Happy from our result at Old Trafford.
Yeah, you must have been loving life up there.
Yeah, I was buzzing. So the international break is upon us. So this podcast is going to be slightly different to our usual format. So Sham, how are we going to do it today?
So the agenda today, we're first going to do what we normally do. So go over our teams, give a league update. We're then going to talk about FPL Generals League for a little bit. I'm going to talk a little bit about the London meetup that we had on the weekend. We're then going to draw our competition winner, and we'll talk a bit about that. And then the game week review, and then questions. So normally, obviously, we just cover the previous game week in a little bit of detail. This week, we're going to go in a bit more. And just so you know, guys, what we're going to do when we go through the game week review, we're going to try and get your questions in at that point when we're covering those teams, so it's a bit easier at the end rather than loads of questions at once.
So, okay, excellent.
Shez, how did your team get on?
So I scored 58 points, which wasn't bad. The average was 50, but the top 100k did better than me, so my overall rank dropped slightly. Reasonably pleased with my performance, just disappointed in terms of my selection, in terms of who I had on the bench, and poor captain choice. Harry Kane really let me down, 1 point, so that was disappointing. Matt Doherty, 15 points, that worked out really well. Starting to become Mr. Consistent. That's his third double digit return in 8 game weeks for a defender, which is very impressive. Eden Hazard, the next Mo Salah?
Quite possibly, mate.
Having a very good season. Richarlison finally returned because I was starting to get itchy feet with him, so I'm glad he did that. My front line was very disappointing. 2 points to Zaha, 2 points Mitrovic, and 2 points of Kane as captain. It was really my bench, which had a lot of points. I had Fraser on there, 6 points. Robertson keeping that unexpected clean sheet against City, 6 points. And Bennett for Wolves, 7 points. How about you, Sham?
So, I finished on 68, which is not bad. It's quite good, actually. So, my overall rank, I went up a bit from 14,700 to 12,700. But I'm really gutted because I had Doherty on my bench. And for anyone that follows us on Twitter, I was tweeting about it the whole weekend. So my main team had Alonso, 6 points. So the main people that returned for me, Robertson, 6 points, Mendy, 5, Richarlison, 7, Fraser, 6, and then Captain Hazard with 28. But Doherty came on 15. All week he was starting with Wan-Bissaka. And then when I found out on Friday that Mendy was... could be playing, I started him only because I thought Wan-Bissaka, you know, they're playing at home, so yeah, that cost me 15 points. So that was really disappointed. Currently on 5-5-2, so that's not too bad.
No, it's very good.
In terms of our No Champs League team, it's actually Shezit's got the same points as you now.
all right, give it a break.
So this is a team that we put together with no teams in the top four.
From last season.
It smashed it this week with 80 points. And again, it was one of those things that
it could have been a lot better. Arsenal boys, right?
Well, you say that. I took out Aubameyang, right? So we had Aubameyang and Lacazette starting. I took him out for Arnautovic. The reason why I took him out was because I thought he wasn't going to start. And he didn't start. But then he came off the bench and bloody smashed it. And we had Doherty on the bench as well.
That could have been 100 plus. Wow. That
could have been well 100 plus. So we're currently on 492, get a overall rank of 228. We'll continue with it. It's just a bit of fun. We've got two free transfers as well.
It's not going to be fun if it overtakes my team. That's all I'm saying.
At least this is a joint team. So you could be like, you could still take credit for it because this is a joint effort.
I didn't even know what the team was last week, to be fair. So I'm not sure I can claim.
Lacazette was captain as well. So we had Lacazette, Hazard, Richarlison, Frazier, Pereira, Bellerin, Patricio, Alonso, all chipping in. So that was our game week review. So let's go through the league update. So in joint fifth place, we've got 2CB Andrew Bladen with 570 points. Rory Scott, Smelly Sane also with 570 points. In fourth, we've got Benjamin Revel with Kingwood's Massive, 572. Ian Cooper with Beardsley's Poachies, 580. And second place is Richard Della Hunty with Toffee Gods, 583. And in first place, we have Andres Boy, Mohamed Salat with 585 points with an overall rank of 911.
Wow, that's impressive. He had a very good game week, didn't he? 87 points.
87, yeah. Smashed it.
Wow. So, but it just goes to show, if you get your captain choice right, you know, that can make a big difference. So he had Hazard as well.
Yeah. Do you know what? Talking about captain choice, I'll mention it now quickly. So I was looking on Premier Fantasy Tools today about how many points my captains has got me this season. And it's like I've got 164 captain points. And that, I think, compared to last season, is the main reason why I've done really well. I almost made a really bad mistake this weekend. You kind of convinced me otherwise. For those that I'd seen on Twitter, I was going to put Arnie.
Are you crazy? I mean, you know, they're playing away from home. Friday night games are unpredictable at the best of times.
Yeah, and Chez convinced me. He was just like, you've just got to put Hazard in. So last minute choice.
Yeah, shame I didn't listen to my own advice and bloody went with Kane.
To be honest, I don't think that was a wrong decision though.
Yeah.
I would have, if I had Kane, I'd captain him. I think most people would have.
Yeah, I mean, at home to Cardiff.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, just shows captain choices how important they are. Right, so that is a league update. We just want to talk about now is the Generals League. So Chez, do you want to say a little bit about this league?
To be honest, I mean, I've only looked into it briefly, so it's better if you lead into it. Okay.
So General's been talking a lot recently about mental health with men especially, which I think is fantastic, especially within the community. You know, like he said, 95% of his followers are men, and a lot of people have mental health concerns. So this is something that will really help raise some money for them.
Also, it's just raising awareness. I mean, I think some people, you know, they could be facing these issues. And I guess the important thing is not to suffer in silence. You know, there is a community out there. There is support. So it's definitely a great cause and one that we're definitely supporting.
Yeah. So I've already retweeted it this week. So it's a league that he's setting up from game week 9. You can set up a new team or you can use your existing team. I guess the aim is you join the league, and when you join the league, you just put a donation through his Just Giving page, and he's doing prizes and stuff like that. So we're both going to enter a team there. I would urge you guys to do the same. I think he's already raised over £1,000, which is fantastic. Yeah, no,
it's a great cause, really, really good cause.
So please have a look on the General's page. If not, I'll tweet it again tonight. But yes, that is the plug for General's League. Right. The London meetup. So it was fantastic. I really had a good time this weekend. So met loads of faces. So always cheating. Had a meetup because they were coming from London. And loads of FPL community were there. And I really enjoyed myself. That really down-to-earth people. Nice. And it was nice just talking about football. Something that we really enjoy.
Yeah, so I arrived after the United game about 11 o'clock. Came to meet these guys and they're all smashed off their faces. I mean, you guys must have drunk a lot.
I did have that much.
I don't know what time you started, but
James from Planet FPL was fucked.
He was, he definitely was enjoying himself. But a great lad, it was really nice to meet him.
Yeah, really good. Yeah. Sid and James were really nice. To be honest, everyone was really nice. And yeah, I just wanted to kind of say thank you to Always Cheating for organising it and for all the FPL people that came. I know who got the assist. They are doing a Christmas meetup on the 14th of December in Marylebone. So shout out to that meetup.
We'll both be there.
We'll both be there. Book some time off. It'd be really nice to meet some more people, more listeners, and just chat football all night, really, which I really, really enjoyed.
I'm not sure how much football you guys were talking about. You, some of you guys look like you were...
No, it was football most of the night.
One tequila shot too many.
Right, okay, so the next thing is the competition. So, we hit 1,000 followers this week. Which was fantastic. We decided last night to do a little bit of competition, didn't we, Shez?
Yep.
To kind of get some followers and kind of say a thank you to you guys.
Yeah, no, it's an amazing achievement for us. We're really, really happy. So we wanted to thank you all our followers. Please keep spreading the word. We are still a relatively new podcast. We're just looking to get established and just basically share our FPL wisdom
so I put a little bit of competition. If you retweeted it, then we put you into a draw. I think we've got, was it 42 people or 41 people that we ended up with in the draw. We have wrote down all the names of the people that have retweeted it, and Shez, you've got a little bit of a bowl in front of you, haven't you?
So I've got everyone's names, including my own, because I retweeted it as well. That would be awesome. Can you imagine if I pulled my own name out?
Yeah, we're doing a redraw if that happens. No,
surely not.
No, we are doing a redraw.
Listen, you did not state in your terms and conditions that I was just, you know.
No, that ain't fucking happening.
I would love it if my name came out.
Just before we do this, I just want to say, the reason why we've delayed with the mugs for a while is because Shez hasn't done a logo yet.
I've delegated.
FPL Rubber Ducky, fantastic lad. He has said to me that he's going to, this week, try and help us with the logo. So he's going to get our logo sorted, and then we're going to order some mugs. So the winner, will be a proud owner of the new mug that we get.
Yeah, no, shout out to Rubber Ducky. That's very much appreciated on our behalf.
Right, Shez, do you want to draw the winner?
Yep.
Right, give it a good old shake. Good old shake.
Okay. And the winner is... Shez! No, it's not. No, it would have been funny if I'd pulled out my own name. It is FPL Badger.
Amazing. Oh, FPL Badger's a really nice guy. I talk to him quite a lot, and... he does big up the podcast a lot, so that's really appreciative. And thank you for retweeting it. And
thank you to everyone for retweeting it. And congratulations to FPL Badger. One of our mugs will be making our way to you, so we'll be in contact with you.
Hopefully within the next few weeks.
Yeah.
Right, that is all the little stuff out of the way. Let's crack on. So, game week review.
We'll start off with your boys, won't we? How did that go, Shem?
Fucking ridiculous. Like, listen, at the end of the day, we deserve to get at least a draw out of that game. We were much the better side for most of it. Bloody Murray always scores against us.
He's having a good season. I mean, I mentioned him at the start of the season and you kind of just ruled him out, but...
Yeah, you did.
You know, the guy can score goals. You know, I don't think he's amazing footballer. He's
34
footballer.
Years
he's
old.
He's 34, but do you know what? He's experienced and he's always in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
He scored 5 goals this season already. You know, you'll be getting double digits, that's for sure.
I don't know if I'd want to... I mean, Burnley.
Brighton.
Brighton do have a good run of fixtures at the moment. That from the beginning, didn't we, last week?
No, their fixtures are changing.
I just think, forwards-wise, I don't know whether or not he would be an option now at the moment.
The thing is, they don't have a difficult fixture until game week 17 now. They've got a run about 7-8 fixtures.
Yeah, so we've got one question actually on Brighton, so we can cover that now while we've got it, and then I'll talk a bit about West Ham. So, at Jordan SD asks, Brighton's fixtures look great, but can they actually keep clean sheets? So that was the first clean sheet that they kept.
The first clean sheet they've kept all season. But they have had difficult fixtures. They face United, Liverpool, Tottenham, City.
Yeah.
So do you know what I mean? So it's difficult to judge them defensively based on those fixtures. But I think this is now where we could see a change in their fortunes. They're going to be very strong at home. You know, you guys have been scoring goals. The fact that they kept you guys out, I can see them keeping up with, picking up a few clean sheets along the way. In terms of defensive assets, Duffy, 4.5.
Would you consider going in on him though, if you got a wild card? He's got 32 points.
I mean, I wouldn't mind having some Brighton coverage. The only thing is, you've got other teams like Wolves at the moment,
yeah,
who have got defenders for the same price and, to me, look more solid at the back. So that's the only thing. Keeper-wise, Ryan, he had a good season last year.
Mm-hmm.
I potentially as a fifth defender, and then when they've got home fixtures, you could rotate and play one of the defenders.
So, West Ham then. So, we had two really good chances with Arnie and Balbuena, who should have scored.
Arnie should have scored.
Arnie and Balbuena, both of them should have scored. And we just couldn't put it away. I don't know what it was. We had much more the possession, much more shots. I think it's just one of those days. You know, you get these days in the season where they just don't go right for you, whatever it was. I wouldn't be turning off any assets. I mean, still, and the two that I picked out last week, Arnautovic, I still think you should bring him in. 12 penalty area touches. And then the other one is Balbuena. So he had 3 shots and all 3 were inside the box. Compared to, say, Arnautovic, who had 5, 3 in the box, and Murray, who had 4, with 4 in the box. So, you know, it's probably a one-off, to be honest with you, but he seems to be a target man with the from corners. And as I spoke about last week, his baseline BPS is by far the highest out of all the West Ham players. So if you're still looking at a defender, if you don't have a Fabianski, a West Ham defender could be an option. They do have Tottenham coming up. But then after that, decent run. But again, like you say, do you want Wolves or not? I mean, I'm looking at 2 West Ham players.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you are right. After Spurs, they've got a few decent games. Then City, then another good run. Arnie's the only one I would be considering at the moment. And that's because Zaha's been letting me down. So, yeah. Okay. Should we move on?
So, next game.
Burnley Huddersfield.
Should we just move on?
No. Listen, we haven't received enough abuse. We're going to spend the next hour talking about Burnley Huddersfield. 1-1. Strangely enough, Huddersfield dominated possession in this game. 68% possession versus Burnley's 32. They had 19 shots. Granted, very few of them were on target.
Ridiculous.
But 19 shots. I was really surprised. I know Burnley didn't start the season very well, but I thought that was because of their sort of Europa League campaign. So defensively, you know, that's where I probably would go with Burnley, but at the moment they're not showing anything. No, I'm saying that's ordinarily. Yeah. You wouldn't necessarily go for an attacking asset except for maybe Goodmanson.
Goodmanson, I really like the look of. I just think he's a little bit too expensive for Burnley. He's, I think, 5.9. And I think he's just a little bit too expensive.
The problem is, at that price point, you're comparing him to someone like Fraser.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And I think I would rather have Fraser. So, Huddersfield, I mean.
So, a couple of things. So, I looked at the. So, fixtures-wise, Huddersfield, and I think I mentioned this before as well on the thread on our Twitter. So between 10 and 15, they don't play a top six side. So they've got Watford, Fulham, West Ham, Wolves, Brighton, Bournemouth. Decent fixtures.
Decent fixtures, but do you see Huddersfield keeping clean sheets during that? Because I don't. I think they're going to struggle this season. I can't.
Listen, if you're looking for a bench player, there's a couple of bench players that you could look at. So, looked at the heat maps, and both Mooney and Pritchard both are playing like further up, and then McClarty and midfielders. 5.2 and 4.8.
As midfielders.
So as bench players, I really liked Pritchard last year. As bench players, I don't think that would be a bad thing for the fixtures.
No, I can't see it. I can't see them scoring many goals, and I can't see them keeping clean sheets. So it's not for me personally.
Fair enough.
Okay. Palace Wolves. Wolves, another clean sheet.
I don't want to talk about this game.
8 game week in a row where they've started with the same lineup.
Haunted memories.
1-0.
Good result for Wolves.
Yeah, a very good result to go away to Palace and keep a clean sheet. But it just shows, you know, the consistency in terms of team selection. Mm. It shows because they're so well organised. Everyone knows their role in that team. And they've got the individual talent as well.
And Doherty's like almost playing as high up the pitch as like their wingers.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. There's so much value in that team. I wouldn't turn people off going triple Wolves. Genuinely wouldn't. The only thing is they don't have a clear, cool run of fixtures.
That's what I was going to say. So, I mean, it's Watford, Brighton, but then they've got Spurs and Arsenal. And a couple of games after that, they have Chelsea. So it's not the easiest to run.
Saying that, they drew 1-1 with City and they drew 1-1 with United.
That's true.
So they probably set up well.
Yeah, but you wouldn't go triple Wolves against Spurs or Arsenal.
No, but in terms of okay, so you've got Doherty, who's now, 4.6 or something like that? You've got Patricio, who's the same.
Okay.
And you've got Jimenez at 5.5.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think taking three of those players, you know, those three, is wrong. You know, because you can always bench them.
Yeah.
I would much rather a Wolves defender over anyone else at 4.5.
Yeah, I agree with
and
that.
And I would much rather Jimenez over, say, Ings, who's also for 5.5. Or 5.6, whatever it is.
That I'm not sure about. I can definitely see the case for at least doubling up on a Wolves defence. A Patricio and a Doherty, something like that, yes, without a doubt. But for me, they don't score enough goals to have one.
Yeah,
but
neither does Ings.
If you look at, unless
you're going for, you know, if you can stretch to the 7 million mark, then it's different, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Palace, Zaha, let down again.
Yeah, I think it's time to go with him. But, you know, Palace aren't scoring enough goals.
And they've had reasonable fixtures. He's only scored 3 goals. I mean, it's not the worst return, 3 out of 8. But I can't see Palace scoring too many goals this season either. So the point is, at that price point, you've got Wilson, King, Arnie. You've got a number of different options.
I think the other thing as well, and this is a real discussion within the community and people are not sure, is we know from game week 9, or I think it's 10 actually, Palace have got a ridiculously hard fixture run, right?
Yeah, it's from, they've got Everton next, but then it's Arsenal, Chelsea,
yeah, so they've got
Spurs, United.
Right. Now, a lot of people are going to be benching Wan-Bissaka, no doubt, for all of those games.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to be starting them. So do you take him out for a Bennett, who's the same price, and potentially go 5 at the back?
I think you're right. He may not be in a lot of people's starting 11. He'll probably be benched, but I don't think he'll be sold. So I don't think you need to be worrying about a necessarily drop in value.
No, but would you rather... I don't think it's necessarily that. I think it's a case of, would you not rather have someone that you can potentially bring in, like a Bennett, for example, who's the same price, or go up a couple, like 0.2 or 0.3... and go to Johnny, for argument's sake.
The problem is Wolves have got some difficult fixtures during that period as well. So,
or you could even go West Ham, 4.3.
Yeah.
With Diop.
Yeah.
I'd only advise doing that if you've got a wild card, though. That's the only thing.
The problem is with that is I see it as a waste of a transfer, because I'd want Wan-Bissaka in afterwards.
I'm saying it unless you have a wild card.
Yeah.
Because then you're not wasting two transfers on it, are you? Just one.
Yeah. But if you don't, then I can't put a case forward for that because I would want him back after those difficult fixtures are over.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not for me. If you've got a wild card, maybe.
Okay, we've got a couple of questions on Wolves, so I'm just going to cover them now.
Okay.
So, first one is from at Dr. Matt 07. Johnny or Doherty as my Wolves win back? Is Doherty significantly better and worth the extra money, or has he just been luckier, or has he just been the luckier one to have got a few more points, and will it likely even out?
So price wise, Doherty's now gone up to 4.6, I believe.
4.7 now.
It's gone. Is he now 4.7?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got 0.3 saving with Johnny. Heat maps are actually quite similar between the two. Doherty is actually a little bit more attacking, but heat wise, it's a tough one. On the eye test, I think Doherty. But if you need to save that 0.3, then I see nothing wrong with going with Johnny. I see nothing wrong going with the two of them, actually.
Yeah.
Their underlying stats are not too dissimilar. So Doherty's XG is 1.36 versus Johnny's 1.24. XA, okay, Doherty's got greater assist potential, 0.92 versus 0.26.
I just think that Doherty goes in the box more, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's had more penalty area touches. So...
Okay, so what are you saying?
Well, I mean, even in terms of penalty area touches, it's 24 versus 20 in favour of Doherty.
It's very similar, isn't
it? It's very similar.
I would edge towards
Doherty. I would edge towards Doherty if you've got that 0.3. But if you haven't, then yeah, I wouldn't say Johnny's a bad pick at all.
Okay, next question. I've had Bolly since game week 1, but it looks like Doherty's a standout option from Wolves. With no doubts, with no obvious fires to put out, is it too much of a sideways move to switch Bolly to Doherty before game week 9?
I'm always reluctant to do sideways moves. I know Doherty has returned sort of double digits the last two game weeks, and underlying stats are better. But personally, I would probably want to save that transfer.
But he's got no problems in his team.
He's got no problems now, but you don't know what's going to happen next game week. Also, we're in an international break. You don't know if there are injuries are going to be, you know.
Well, I disagree. So I recently had Walcott and I switched him to Richarlison, which is a sideways move. And it didn't pay off the first game week, but it paid off this week.
Yeah.
Bolly really doesn't have that much attacking potential. Doherty does assist and attacking and yeah. goal threat. I would make that move. If you've got no problems, I would make that move.
I suppose Doherty's only 0.1 more at the moment. Yeah, maybe just wait until, well, you should be waiting anyway. I wouldn't be recommending anyone making any transfers now unless you're on a wild card. Wait until sort of deadline. Don't make any rash decisions during the international break.
Definitely.
Because if anybody picks up an injury, then you've got to make an additional transfer.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, that question was from at Bracken TB. I didn't mention the name.
Okay. Yeah, so you're quite keen on it. I would be tempted to hold for 2-3 transfers the following week, but...
I'm too scared to like keep Doherty on my bench after this weekend. He's starting every game week for me. Right, should we move on?
Yeah.
Okay, so the next game was Leicester and Everton. What did you think? Fucking that goal from Sigurdsson.
Yeah, man. I was just going to say, a great goal from Sigurdsson. Who really impressed me in this game was Bernard.
Yep.
Who's dribbling. I mean, I don't think he'll be scoring many goals, but I can see him picking up a number of assists. So he was one that stood out. I mean, aside from the obvious Sigurdsson and Richarlison,
Pereira stood out for me. He's all, like playing like a winger at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's classified as a defender, isn't he?
Yeah, it's 5.1, I think, at the moment.
Yeah, not a bad shout as a fifth defender.
Fifth defender? I don't know about a fifth defender. At 5.1, I don't know if I'd have a fourth.
Well, yeah, I suppose. But then the problem is, you'll say, okay, I know he's playing further up, but would you rather have Pereira or Doherty?
Yeah, that's true.
Do you see what I mean? When you put it like
true.
That.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, I think at 5.1 is probably a bit too much.
But Leicester's fixtures are really good coming up. That's the thing that's making me sway. So between 10 and 15, they've got West Ham, Cardiff, Burnley, Brighton, Watford and Fulham.
I think if you're going Leicester, it's
four home
be,
games.
I think it's got to be coverage in terms of Maddison or Vardy. Probably Maddison, just because of the price differential.
Okay, Everton, anything else to talk about here? What did you think of Richarlison playing up top?
An interesting one. I wasn't sure how he was going to do there. And if he keeps playing up there for most of the season, could reap rewards there, especially with Bernard providing service there. Sigurdsson, what do you think? So I mean, aside from scoring, absolute worldie.
So we've got a question on that, actually. So from at Rock Turbo Man asks, is Siggy and Richarlison good value? I currently don't have any. Everton's fixtures are very mixed the coming weeks. Form looks good. So if you're not on Everton at all,
yeah,
do you bring in Sigurdsson or Richarlison or either?
I think if it's a choice between the two, for me, it's still Richarlison, especially if he's playing up front. You're right. Fixtures are not the easiest. It's sort of a mixed bag. They sort of have a more comfortable fixture than a difficult one, than another reasonable one and a difficult one. So it seems to alternate. But providing you've got...
The home games are good, though. So Palace at home.
That's the thing.
Brighton at home. Cardiff at home. Newcastle at home.
Exactly.
It's good fixtures.
So I would have some Everton coverage. I would go Richarlison. And then maybe pick and choose when you play him. So maybe, I don't know, not play him against Chelsea and Liverpool.
Do you know one thing that I noticed with Richarlison and Sigurdsson was it feels like playing Richarlison as the striker is bringing the best out of Sigurdsson.
Well, he was playing that number 10 role, wasn't he? So just in the hole.
But that I think having Richarlison playing up front feels like it's better for Sigurdsson in terms of his his potential.
Yeah. Yeah, an interesting one to keep an eye on. I certainly wouldn't get rid of any of them if you have them.
Yeah.
But if you don't, I would sort of edge towards Richarlison and then play him for the home games.
Okay.
But even against the even the away games, I can see him potentially scoring against United and Chelsea.
I don't know about Chelsea, they look quite good at the moment. Mm. Well, United, if we can score past you guys, anyone can. Right, moving on, let's go to Spurs. Shez, do you want to talk about this one?
Oh, no. Bloody Harry Kane. Just home to Cardiff, and the guy can't score. I mean, to be fair, he did have a few decent chances. Should have scored a header.
Cardiff should have scored as well, to be
Cardiff
fair.
Cardiff should have scored that goal line clearance from Alderweireld. I was actually surprised with Cardiff. I thought they actually played okay. I mean, although sort of Tottenham dominated possession, I think they had about 76% possession and 19 shots. Cardiff actually played okay and they actually had a bit of a go.
I think the worrying thing for me looking at the heat maps was Moura was playing higher up than Kane.
Yeah, so Kane was dropping in quite a deep. He was playing a bit more of a withdrawn role. And that's not where I want to see him, especially if he's my captain. I want him to be in the box. But Moura was pushing up quite a bit. I had them both.
Oh, did you? Oh,
I had them both.
Did.
And so it's disappointing because they both had chances to score. Cardiff, I can't see them keeping many clean sheets. And I can't put a case forward for investing in any of their attacking assets.
What do you think with... a lot of people have got Kane.
Yes.
A lot of people have got Trippier.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with those assets?
Trippier you keep, for sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
They've got a tough run of fixtures, though.
Yeah, I would still. I can see Spurs keeping clean sheets. Trippier is on a lot of set pieces. Yeah, Trippier for me is a sort of a set and forget. Providing there isn't sort of any rotation with Aurier. I know he's injured at the moment. So that needs to be monitored, but no, Trippier you definitely keep. Kane is a difficult one. I'm facing that predicament now. Do I keep him for the next game week away to your boys?
He'll probably score, to be fair. He's got a really good record against us. He'll probably score. Just in terms of what we were talking about with taking shots and stuff, so Moura has had 9 penalty area touches with 5 shots. Kane had 5 penalty area touches and 6 shots, obviously 3 outside the box.
Yeah.
Well,
that's the thing, though. I don't want him to be taking shots outside the box. I want him there to be in the box, you know, the furthest forward.
I don't know. I'd probably keep him against us. I wouldn't captain him. You got much better captain's options next week, but I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Definitely wouldn't captain him. If you haven't got Spurs, I wouldn't be bringing them in personally.
I'd still see a case of Trippier.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know about bringing him in. I think we'll score against Spurs.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Okay. Watford Bournemouth 4-0. I don't think anyone saw that one coming.
No, and everyone got, well, a lot of people got trolled in it. Wilson, the bloody troll. He's like the assist king this year, man.
Yeah.
He's got the most assists in the league.
Just a stat on Bournemouth. 8 games. You know how many penalties they've had?
I don't know. 5?
6.
Bloody hell.
6 penalties.
It's ridiculous. And then what? King's a penalty taker now, isn't he? Frazier came off at like 65 minutes or something like that. He got an assist at least, which wasn't too bad.
But I'm just glad he came off because I had benched him. I thought, you know, going away to Watford is going to be a tight, cagey game.
Yeah. Don't blame you there.
But to be fair, I think the red card changed things considerably. I mean, I know it was 1-0 at the time, but, you know, it would have been a lot tighter if there wasn't a red card. But I was impressed with Bournemouth. They look very good going forward.
What do you think about people? I mean, Bournemouth do have a tough game, tough fixtures coming up. If people have got attacking assets, do you think you should keep them?
I wouldn't get rid because I still think they'll score goals. And their next 2 fixtures are still decent. They've got Southampton and Fulham.
Yeah, I think it's more after that, isn't it?
It's after that. We've got United, Arsenal, City, or Newcastle sandwiched in between there. I would still keep them because I don't think they'll keep clean sheets during that period, but I can still see them scoring goals.
One thing that I found quite interesting is Stanislas, when he came on, felt like he was playing a lot higher up the pitch.
Yeah.
From the eye test, what I saw. And then when
who did he come on for?
Frazier.
Frazier, okay.
I think it was Frazier he came on for.
What about Brooks? He's going a bit under the radar, 5 million.
Well, I tipped him, didn't I, from the beginning? Like not, when I went to see him that first game.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I said straight away, this one's to watch, 5 million. Because when I was watching the game, I was like, bloody, I didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
And I saw it and I was like, who's this young 12-year-old? I was like, who the fuck is this? And then I looked into it and it was Brooks. And
he looks really young, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He does, in his baby face.
Really, really, really good. And 2 goals in 2 games. Again, I don't know. I don't think I would be investing in Bournemouth now ahead of their tough fixtures. I mean, if you want to take a punt, you could. I'd still favour Frazier, though, over him.
Yeah, the only thing there is with Stanislas back, potential possible rotation?
Yeah, with Brooks and
Frazier
potentially. Yeah.
I mean, I can't see Frazier being dropped.
Yeah.
Because he's been on great form this season, but that's something that needs to be monitored.
Watford, anything to say on them? Hollybas is now banned for the next game, is one thing to say.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's got 5 yellow cards.
5 yellow cards. Yeah, he is the yellow card king, isn't he? I mean, it's difficult to read too much or judge him just based on that one game. They were down to 10 men. That's always going to change things considerably. So, no, can't read too much into that.
Okay, should we talk about your game you went to see?
Game of the weekend.
Yep.
This
is like the quintessential game of two halves, wasn't it?
I'm telling you, I was almost ready to walk out after the first half. We were so, so poor. You know, I sent you some photos from the game and I was pretty close to the pitch. So I could see them warming up and it just didn't look like, you know, they were there. You know, it looked like something wasn't right. Game started and no confidence at all, you know. They were making mistakes. They couldn't string, you know, passes in the final third. Just a complete lack of confidence. Went 2 down, pretty early mistakes, and then turned it around in the second half. Strangely enough, I know you were messaging me, so I had really poor signal inside the stadium.
Yeah.
So I came out and I came out and it was like, "Do you want a hug?" And I was like, "Is he celebrating as well? Is it like the old United in him that's made him happy? He was so happy with the result, he wants to hug me about it." So
yeah, I put out a tweet with a screenshot of our conversation. And I was of like, "Do you want a hug?" And then when you won, I then said. He ain't getting that fucking hug anymore.
Because I came out, I was like, "Do you want a hug?" I was like, "All right, he's just as happy as I am." Who was I really impressed with? Mata changed the game. He came on, played really well. Pogba as well, but he played quite a withdrawn role. In the second half, he was basically playing as like a quarterback, you know, just in front of Matic and Smalling.
Mm-hmm.
Impressed with Martial in the second half. The problem is at the moment with United, there's just so much inconsistency. You know, it was a great result, but whether you're asking me if we've turned a corner or not, I don't think so. I think this is just temporary respite. We've got difficult fixtures coming up away to Chelsea next, which, you know, I can't see us getting a result there, if I'm honest with you. I can't see us keeping any clean sheets.
Any Newcastle players that you're impressed with?
I mean, Kennedy took his goal very well and he was playing quite high up the pitch, almost alongside Mutu. So he looked good, but it was more of a defensive mistake. You know, Ashley Young should have pushed him out to the side as opposed to letting him cut inside. But Newcastle was so poor in the second half as well. As much as we were good, they were poor. And I think they're going to struggle this season. So no, I can't suggest any Newcastle players.
Okay, anything else on the game?
No.
Okay, so let's go on to the next one. Fulham and Arsenal.
Fulham are just so leaky.
Right, so before we move on, discuss this game, I'm going to ask you a question. So talk about XG and all of that. Have you seen their XG for the game?
Who, Arsenal's?
Both.
No.
Okay. So what do you think Fulham's XG was?
Ordinarily, I'd probably say low, but the fact is, I know I read somewhere that they had lots of shots.
Okay. Arsenal's, what do you think their XG was, considering they scored 5 goals?
Is it lower than Fulham's?
Lower than Fulham's, right?
Doesn't so surprise me.
Fulham's XG was 1.4.
Yeah.
Arsenal's was 1.14. Which means that they predicted to score 1 goal,
yeah,
and they scored 5. Which just goes to show, stats are not always when it comes to these predictions.
Not. Of course,
you know,
not.
It just means that they took better chances in positions they weren't expecting to score in.
Yeah,
I saw that and I was like, wow! I was just like really shocked with that.
Yeah,
They didn't have as I don't even I think Fulham probably had more shots. To be honest with you,
Fulham had 21 shots.
See, yeah, that's ridiculous.
But that's the issue of Fulham, is they do attack, but they leave things open at the back. And you could see someone like Arsenal tearing them apart. I mean, I can't wait for Fulham to play against Liverpool. I think I'm going to have Salah, Mane and Firmino for that game. Because, you know, if Arsenal hit them for 5...
Yeah.
And especially if it's at Craven Cottage, where Fulham will attack Liverpool...
Yeah.
You know, Liverpool will have a field day against them.
So... Arsenal assets, we've got quite a few questions. Rather than just talking about them, we'll go through the questions because we'll end up covering it anyway.
Okay.
So, at DC Banksy asks, watching Arsenal, their attack seemed a lot more crisp when coming down the right wing through Bellerin. What are your thoughts on him? Is he a wait and see for another couple of weeks, or would you lean towards Monreal?
So, price-wise, Bellerin's still 0.1 cheaper. I mean, disregarding the price, I still prefer Bellerin.
Yeah.
You know, I think people have been saying now for a few weeks, shall we wait and see? They've kept 2 clean sheets in the last 3 game weeks, and he picked up an assist in this one. So he scored 6, 8, and 5 points.
His heat map shows he's basically playing on the halfway line.
Yeah. And Arsenal are scoring goals. You know, they're looking like a very fluid team. So... In terms of what are their fixtures? Fixtures are not bad. So they've got Leicester, Palace, but then they've got Liverpool. But then after that, they've got Wolves, Bournemouth. Tough one. I think it just emphasises the importance of having a squad, because games against Leicester and Palace, I would probably play Bellerin. I probably wouldn't play him against Liverpool.
Yeah.
But definitely against Leicester and
Bellerin Palace. Bellerin over Monreal.
For me, yes.
Okay. At FPL Liam asks, why do you think so many people overlooked Lacazette for weeks? Surely consistency is key.
Good question, actually. I think part of the reason he's still been overlooked, his ownership is still only 10.3%, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Considering he scored 48 points. I think part of the reason he's been overlooked is because he didn't start the season. You know, he was coming off the bench, played 36 minutes in the first game, 15 in the second, 45 against your boys. It's only since game week 4 he's been playing, you know, as a starter.
I think he's also at that awkward price bracket.
That's the other thing as well. So he's not an 11 million like your Agueros, your Lukaku's. I don't know why I'm mentioning Lukaku, because you wouldn't even consider him. Aguero, Aubameyang. But then he's not, you know, as cheap as like your Arnie's.
He's returned in every week since game week 4. Well, yeah. In fact, since game week 3.
Yeah.
Every week.
No, he's even on the eye test, he's four looking balls, very, forces, very good. Forces,
yeah.
I'm actually trying to see if I can get him into my team.
Well, I'm considering him in my wildcard when I play it.
Yeah, I mean, Arsenal are scoring goals for fun as well, so I think Lacazette or Aubameyang have to be a consideration.
Okay, and the next one is from, so last question, Arsenal. Before now, Arsenal. So this is from at FPL Smart. Before now, Arsenal players haven't been consistent point scorers, both in defence and attack, but Lacazette is now an extremely strong FPL option. I guess
I would agree with that. I think the problem is there, you're comparing Arsenal this season to Arsenal of old. They've got a new manager. They look a lot better. So, yeah, I think it's time to start considering Arsenal players.
Aubameyang, would you be holding him or trying to switch him for Lacazette? Could you see a sideways move, or do you think just keep him if you got him, don't move him to Lacazette?
You'd save 1.1, which could be useful. I mean,
he's owned by 9%, so Lacazette has higher ownership.
Yeah. To be honest, I'd be happy to have either one in my team at the moment.
Okay.
I mean, if you don't have either of the two, I'd probably go Lacazette. Especially because he's the one that's playing up top.
Yeah.
But I would be happy with either one.
Okay, next game. Chelsea, Southampton. King Hazard. Captain Hazard.
That one hurt me hard.
I think, you know, at the very beginning of the episode, you said this year Salah.
Yeah.
I wholeheartedly agree with you on that one. I think he's playing amazing. He's consistent, which I don't think he ever is. Like, generally, he's been known as like the troll, but he's delivering every single week.
He's really stepped up a level this season.
I can see, you know, Chelsea could be title contenders this year, as long as Hazard stays fit.
Well, I think it's two things. Hazard stays fit, and it depends how they treat the Europa League. So yeah. As long as they can field a second string side there, and most of their first teamers are kept fresh for the Premier League. Yes, I completely agree.
7 goals, 3 assists. It's unbelievable.
No, you're right. Hazard's a must-have. Yeah. A must-have. And his value is rocketing. So he's now at 11.3. And we got him at, what, 10 point something?
Yeah, 10.7.
Yeah.
One player that I really like the look of, right? And you may laugh.
Barkley? He looked very good against Southampton.
There are a few reservations here with regards to, you know, whether or not he's going to start. He's basically competing with Kovacic, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So whether or not he can hold down a first team place, or whether or not he will play in the Europa League. But at 5.7, he's very cheap for a Chelsea midfielder.
You are right. He's very cheap, but I think you've answered your own question to an extent by saying, you know, he's not a guaranteed starter.
I don't think he's a bring in now. I think he's a wait and see if he can hold down
a place. If he can hold down a place, yeah, you're right. At 5.7, he's cheaper than Fraser.
Yeah.
And Chelsea will score lots of goals as well. But I think Chelsea, it's got to be Hazard. Everything goes through him. Oh, yeah,
yeah. Definitely Hazard. I'm just saying as a
potential in addition to Hazard.
In addition, yeah, yeah. It's got to be Hazard. You've got to. A lot of people thinking about ditching Alonso. So Chelsea are now keeping the clean sheets, but Alonso hasn't delivered since game week 4 in terms of attacking wise.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was unsustainable. I mean, you can't expect Alonso to be scoring sort of double digits every game week.
Yeah.
I know he is expensive. He's what, 6.9 now.
But in terms of now Mendy's back, as a potential like to get to Mendy.
Potentially, but then the issue with Mendy is rotation.
Yeah.
Possibly.
With Sané.
Well, with Delph as well, potentially.
Southampton should have scored though, man. Did you see that miss by Ings?
Ings, yeah, I did see that. Just one point on Alonso, the issues as well is if you take him out, he's got 46% ownership. That's going to hurt you.
Good point.
So,
okay, let's just take a quick break before we cover City, Liverpool.
Okay.
And then questions, yeah?
Okay.
All right.
Welcome back, guys. So we've just got the last fixture of the game week, Liverpool versus Man City. A board draw.
Yeah, disappointing game. I was expecting a lot more from this game. Although, you know, for my assets, it was actually probably the best that I could hope for, other than a 3-3.
Who did you have?
Mendy and Robertson.
Oh, you had Mendy. Okay.
Bloody, I was so annoyed. Robertson was like on full bonus and then he lost it all at the end. Which was annoying, but
listen, just be grateful you had him in your starting lineup. I had him on my bench.
Who?
Robertson.
Oh, okay. No, I thought you were fucking saying it about Mendy. I was hoping he wasn't going to be starting, so Doherty would come in. Yeah, and then bloody Morris's miss. That was a ridiculous penalty miss.
Oh, that was a terrible penalty.
I don't know why they took it.
Well, apparently he's been taking penalties in training. Doing quite well, and so apparently Pep sent the message via Mendy that Mahrez should take it. But apparently Jesus wasn't very happy because he wanted to step up. So
it felt like City were a lot more prepared for this game. I think it helped with
having the extra day as well.
Yeah, and the going 3-5-2.
Oh, helped. Yeah.
I think that's why Mendy came back, which makes me think maybe that it was was nothing to do with any injury at all, ever.
Just a discipline issue.
Yeah. Because suddenly he's okay and he doesn't need any kind of fitness to get back after missing like 6 games.
Yeah.
Possibly. So, yeah, we've got a couple of questions on City and Liverpool. So we'll go through the City ones first. So at FPL Newman asks, how early is too early to start thinking about bringing in KDB? Expected back after the break and currently at 9.7, would you risk getting him in for Salah given the great fixtures Liverpool have coming up?
No, definitely not. I wouldn't risk it for Salah. I mean, if you look at Liverpool's fixtures, it's Huddersfield and Cardiff. If anything, you'd want to switch it the other way. If you had KDB, you'd want to bring Salah in for those fixtures. So definitely not. If you're sacrificing Salah for KDB...
Okay, so forget about Salah.
Okay, forgetting about Salah... I'm of the view you need to see how KDB is when he's back. I mean, everyone's just assuming that KDB is just going to hit the ground running and play like he did last season. It could take him a while just to get back to his usual self. So, personally, I can't see it. His ownership's 7%. I'm even surprised with that. But those are my views. I don't know what you think.
No, I agree. Okay, one from AkRock Turbo Man. Is there any doubt over Mendy starting regularly, or shall we just all bring him back in directly?
That's a tough one. The problem is we don't know.
I think he'll be switching between Sané in terms of, you know, depending on what teams they're playing, going attacking and defending. But, you know, Mendy was starting at the beginning of the season because Sané had his issues or problems.
Yeah,
or whatever it was.
Sané's been playing well.
Then Sané's been playing really well.
And Pep doesn't seem to favour playing them both.
No.
But if they're playing weaker teams, then I can see them both starting.
How?
Well, if they're playing four at the back.
Four at the back, yeah.
Four at the back with Mendy as a left back.
I don't know if Mendy's ever played four. Have they played four at the back before Mendy?
Yeah, yeah, they have.
Mendy in?
It's a tough one. I need to maybe see one or two game weeks. The thing is, defence is not a priority at the moment. I've got some of the Wolves boys. I've got Alonso. I've got Robertson. To be fair, I'd probably want to bring in Trippier instead.
Okay.
But obviously, if Mendy starts getting attacking returns again, then everyone will jump on that bandwagon as well.
Okay, Liverpool, got a couple of questions on them. At FPL _soup says, I don't own Salah. I have my wildcard intact. Do you think I should play my wildcard to accommodate Salah for the upcoming fixtures? Or since I have Mane to cover, I shall wait and wildcard later when it becomes more necessary?
Good question.
I'll answer this one because I do have Salah.
And you have your wild card.
And I have my wild card. If I had Mane and not Salah, I would not be using my wild card now to bring in Salah because I've already got Liverpool cover.
Mm-hmm.
Salah's got better, in terms of his
XG
and all of that is a lot better. Mane hasn't passed the eye test really the last couple of games, but neither has Salah. I wouldn't be bringing him in, but I definitely wouldn't be getting rid of him. I wouldn't use my wild card to bring him in. No, the wild card is there when you want to completely structure a team. Just whilst you're on that, one thing that I put on today. So the main reason that I haven't used my wild card is because I've got Salah. And I want him for these two games. Now, if I used my wild card right now, I'd still be keeping Salah. And yep. I'd probably end up doing maybe three changes or four changes, mm-hmm. which I don't think would be worth it. Whereas, if I do my wild card in, say, game week 11 or 12, he's played against Huddersfield and Cardiff already, so the best two fixtures out of the way. And then I can make my decision after that whether or not I want to bring him in or not, because my team would be significantly different. Yeah, take him out or not, in terms of if he does really well against Huddersfield and Cardiff, I'll probably end up keeping him.
Yep.
And I may end up keeping my wild card until he's playing shit and then take him out, because you can completely change your team up without Salah and make it a lot stronger.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I'll do that until I'm going to remove Salah in terms of using my wild card. And that's just one thing to keep in mind for people that haven't pressed the wildcard button yet, because I know there's quite a few that are in the same situation.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think if you've got Liverpool coverage, you keep them because they've got arguably their best fixtures coming up.
Use your wildcard to.
What about if you don't have Liverpool coverage and you've got a wildcard? Would you use your wildcard to bring in Liverpool players?
No, I'd try and bring in Liverpool players without a wildcard.
Okay.
If you can, depending, I don't know what players you'd have, but
I guess Mane is probably the most feasible one, Mane or Firmino, because you're going to probably, if you don't have Salah, you probably have to restructure your team quite a bit just to bring him in.
I'd be tempted to maybe do double Liverpool defence, depending on how much that's work not a bad shout. Okay, at Jordan SD asks, which Liverpool striker to consider given the fixtures? Well, there's only two really, isn't there? Firmino and Sturridge. I could see Sturridge starting. But, Firmino, I think Brazil are going to Venezuela, I think, or somewhere like that.
Long trip.
I could see maybe Sturridge starting against Huddersfield, but
Liverpool tend to send
him
back on a private jet, don't they? So they're still reasonably okay. You can't go for Sturridge because you're not going to be bringing him in for one game week.
Yeah, that's true.
So if you're going, you're going for Firmino, but is he just referring to the strikers, or is he possibly saying
anyone? So the question was, which Liverpool striker to consider given the fixtures?
Well, I mean, if it's just a striker position, then it's got to be Firmino.
Yeah.
But if it's considering Firmino, Salah and Mane, obviously if you can afford Salah, that's the one you want. But I don't think Mane or Firmino is a bad second option.
Well, so you haven't got Salah, but you've got Mane. I assume you're just keeping Mane and not getting in Salah.
Yeah. It involves too much restructuring with my team.
Okay, so that is Liverpool City. Anything you want to talk about on that, Shez?
What, the board draw?
Okay, So that is the game week reviewed. Let's go through. We've got about 7 or 8 questions left, so let's cover them.
Okay.
So at Karthik Rao 1995, sorry, asks, what's the priority? Bring in Mendy, sell Kane, or sell Mane?
I wouldn't sell Mane because of these fixtures.
Yep.
Bring in Mendy
or sell Kane.
The thing is, if you're selling Kane, who are you going to? I mean, the only player, if you're selling Kane, I'd be going to is potentially Aguero, or unless you're looking to find a move for Salah in midfield.
Lacazette, go down to Lacazette.
Potentially. I wouldn't say any of the three are urgent moves.
Okay. Personally.
Definitely not Mane.
Okay. At RockTurboMan asks, I would like to hear your take on the best goalkeeping solutions, any price, for the coming 10 game weeks, approximately. The best fixture run at the moment, clear fixtures, are Brighton.
Yeah.
And I believe Leicester.
Yeah.
West Ham have got from 10 to 21, they only play one top 10, one top four side. Or top six side. So you've got Fabianski. We know that Patricio is playing really well, but they've got a difficult run in terms of up and down. I would say out of those, I'd probably like to take a potential punt on Brighton, Ryan.
Yeah, he's got decent fixtures. I know he said price isn't a consideration, but it is ultimately because you can be using the funds elsewhere.
Yeah.
So at that sort of less than 5 million range, then yeah, Ryan or Fabianski, Patricio, yeah. I mean, Wolves fixtures are not the easiest, but you can sort of see them picking up a few clean sheets. The one over that price bracket who I think I would want is Alisson, going back to him.
Liverpool have got good fixtures.
Yeah. So they've only got Arsenal and United in their sort of next 9 game weeks, and then they've got, you know, Huddersfield, Cardiff, Fulham. Okay, they've got Merseyside derby, Burnley, Bournemouth.
And you know why I think Alisson more as well? And I was thinking about this today.
Rotation. When
I was playing, is rotation. As we saw, Lovren played, TAA didn't play. And so I think you want to go double Liverpool defence.
Yeah.
You risk rotate. You know, you could have Alisson and Robertson. They're pretty much guaranteed they're going to play. Obviously, the other one is Van Dijk, but he's a bit more money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it sort of protects you from there, from any sort of potential rotation risk. So that's the one I'd go for. I'd go Alisson.
Okay. Okay. Next one is from at irrepressible Abel Grant. Lovren versus TAA versus Johnny.
Okay. Fixture wise, definitely a Liverpool defender. Lovren, thing is, Gomez has been playing well. I know he played at right back, but he's been playing well at centre back as well. So, potential rotation risks. TAA as well. I guess the only thing with Johnny is he's nailed on to start.
Yep.
Every game week.
Which one would you take out of the three?
I wouldn't take Lovren, because I think TAA is more capable of providing attacking returns.
Yeah.
If you're going TAA versus Johnny, it's a tough one. I don't know with Wolves whether you're chasing lost points to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
It was slightly difficult.
I'd probably go TAA.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't have Robertson, I'd go Robertson. But I know he's considered a little bit more, but he's less likely to be rotated.
Okay. At Arv Svardal asks, now that Hazard is set and forget captain until Christmas.
Is he?
Well, Arv does think so. Please talk about strong defence, possibly 5 at the back, plus a premium keeper. Also, and related, why are we so afraid of having 13 good outfield players to choose from?
Okay.
And then there's another bit as well. And the money, is 0.0 in the bank really a measure of success?
Okay, well, let's deal with that one. No. I wouldn't be leaving several million in the bank because that should be used to strengthen your squad.
But I think it's good to have like at least 0.5, 0.6.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing because you pick up injuries or you want to make, you know, rotate a few players, then, you know, you can do that without taking hits sometimes.
Yep.
So it's not necessarily a bad thing. I wouldn't look to build my team so that I've got money in the bank. But if you do, yeah. And the same way, having nothing in the bank, it's not a guarantee of success. So that's over and done with. Hazard, set and forget. He has been consistent. I'm not sure set and forget captain. But yeah. In terms of keepers, Alisson, I've already said previously, for me, he's the premium keeper I would go for. And what was the... Oh, premium defence.
So, for, no, he's saying...
Oh, going five at the back.
Five at the back. I can't see... I think that's a good option, you know.
Yeah, like, this could be the year of the defender.
Yeah, you know, I think that is a decent option with Brighton, good fixtures coming up. Newcastle got decent fixtures. Wolves, we know their defence is good.
I think you've got the usual suspects. Alonso, Robertson, Mendy, Trippier, Wan-Bissaka and the Wolves defence.
Yeah.
So that's...
And you play around with that in terms of who you want to have.
And then how you want it. Okay, next.
Okay. Did we answer that? Why are we so afraid of having 13 good outfield players to choose from?
What? Who's afraid? I'm not afraid. I'd be happy to have 13 good outfield.
No, I think he's more saying like in terms of are we worried about leaving good players on the bench? Like, you know,
what happened to me?
Like this weekend, like you had a good bench.
Yeah.
I think
I would rather have players on my bench that I know that if I've got injuries, they can come on than players that are not playing at all. So, yeah. No, I'm not afraid of that.
Okay. At DC underscore Bansky ask, would you replace any of Aguero, Mitrovic... would you replace any of Aguero, Mitrovic and Wilson for Laka?
Not Aguero. So
Aguero, Mitrovic and Wilson for Laka.
Not Aguero, because Aguero, for me, it's almost like you leave him in for the season.
Unless you're bringing in Sterling instead of him.
Unless, potentially.
You want to take a gamble.
Yeah. No. Mitrovic, Fulham have got some good fixtures coming up, aside from Liverpool, Chelsea, game weeks 12 and 14 respectively. So I'll leave him in. The only one you could possibly switch with is Wilson, but Wilson's doing well.
And he's a lot more money.
And he's more money.
What? Sorry, Laka's a lot more money.
Yeah, Laka's more money. That's possibly the only one. I suppose if you've got the funds, you could switch him up for Mitrovic.
No, I wouldn't be taking out Mitrovic at the moment. These next few game weeks are Huddersfield, Cardiff and Fulham.
Bournemouth.
Yeah, and Fulham he's got as well.
Plays for Fulham. He's going to be facing his own side.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
All right, maybe we should wrap up. You're getting...
Right, next question is from at Katasna4, Jimmy G. Who would you choose, Kane or Aguero, for the next 6 to 9 game weeks, or maybe with both wildcard is activated? I wouldn't be bringing in Kane right now.
Yeah, their fixtures are not brilliant.
If you've got him, keep him. Potentially, especially against West Ham. But if your wild card's active, I don't think
I suppose the only issue there is Aguero sort of playing 60 minutes, Kane's playing the full 90. I'm still tempted to say Aguero there.
Okay. At Goddamn Cash, who was our 1,000th follower.
Congratulations.
Yeah, asks, I don't own Hazard till now. My plan is to get him on game week 10 so that I can give Kane the run through in the fixtures I intended when I got him after game week 4. Now help me to understand if it is worth to go with Kane versus West Ham and give Hazard versus Manchester United a miss.
Fixture wise, yes, but Hazard is almost showing that he's fixture proof
to an extent. He could score against
I'm sure he tends to play pretty well against us.
If Newcastle can score 2 goals, West Ham can score 3 goals. Right. No, I'm genuinely, I'm not taking the piss here. Yeah. I'm being serious though. Like, they're not the Man United defence of last season.
No, we're not. No.
So if teams can score past Man U, who are not as good as Chelsea,
yeah,
then I don't see why Hazard can't score at home. I believe they're at home.
If you're asking me on a single fixture, you would say Kane. The problem is Hazard's price is going up as well.
Yeah.
you know, it's been going up for the last few game weeks. That's the only issue of concern. And I can see him returning against United.
Mm-hmm. So what's your answer? Worth to go Kane versus West Ham?
I would probably keep Kane versus West Ham, but then providing he's going to have enough funds to bring Hazard in afterwards, if he continues to have a price rise, another 0.1 or 0.2, then do that. But you need to bear in mind that he's going to have that price rise.
Okay, so that is a wrap. Longer than we thought it would be.
Yeah, this was supposed to be a short pod.
Yeah, it was. It was longer than we thought it'd be. Next week, we're going to be doing a review of game week.
A preview.
Of game week 9. Maybe report on some injuries, if there is any, etc, etc. Have a fantastic, boring next 10 days with no international bollocks. Shez, anything else that you want to cover?
International bollocks, you've got the Nations League.
Anything else you want
to
cover?
No.
I just want to say a massive thank you to all the followers out there and our listeners. Please follow us at FPL2Guys1Cup on Twitter if you're not already following us. If you really like the podcast, please retweet it. Give us a review on iTunes and Spotify and everything. And congratulations again to FPL Badger. I'll be in touch. We will speak to you next week. Oh, what day are we doing next week? Monday?
Yeah, it'll probably be Monday again. Monday. But yeah, we'll see. And if you have any feedback, again, we always welcome it. So, yeah, until next week.
Good night.